welcome back to the Great and Terrible AHS. We're here to talk about 1984, some 1980 more, and it's... Oh, this episode. So we've got most of the setup done at this point, right? Sorry. First, joined as always by Ms. Shadow Lovely and Slow Beef, and I'm also Ty Tuesday. Hey.
Yo.
Hello.
Hey, it's part three. I assume you listen to the other parts first. If not, I like your style, kid. But also, that's not normal. So we had just run through the camp. All the counselors have gathered up and gone up onto the hill and are being shown around. So they're basically being told, like, hey, here's the swimming pool, and make sure that you have the buddy system in play because kids love to drown. Also, there's a lunch lady who seems cooler than everyone else here. Showers are split. I guess I don't think this is going to be relevant. I'll be honest. I doubt highly that the AM PM split of the showers is going to be a major plot point, but if I'm wrong, egg on my face. Just had the last second of, Margaret basically say that the person who like owns and is running the camp saying, actually, I hate sex, and there's an anti-sex policy at this camp. That's why I'm running it, or like something like that. Yeah, it's like along those lines. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
Which is weird because like all of the movies they're ripping off, it's never like the character who runs the camp who's like, "Don't fuck at my camp. Whatever you do, do not have sex at my camp. I would hate that." It's usually like the antagonist who's like, I fucking hate when people have sex. Like, it's not usually like the person who's just running it. Usually, like, especially since like most of those movies they're ripping off are from like the 70s and 80s, they're just like, whatever, do what you're all young adults, do whatever you gotta do, just don't do it around the kids. Like, I don't care, goodbye.
Right.
Don't let the kids drown. That's pretty much the only rule. And then they let that happen in Friday the 13th. And that's why we have Friday the 13th, unfortunately.
That's how you get Friday the 13th. All right, everyone.
And like, Margaret also, it just like doesn't make sense to be like, I don't have sex. You can jerk off, though, unless you're like, there's Oni in the woods and they can smell the ovulation. Like, why? What are you worried about? That's a different movie, Ty.
That's a different movie. We could talk about that one all day, but that's a discussion for a different time.
Wait, let's have that one after this, because wait, I'm not aware of that. But anyway.
The bears smell the menstruation. That's right.
Oh, okay.
Anime has really taken a really strange turn these days.
Oh, God. So they're hanging out at a campfire later on in a circle, which weird to have a campfire night one before the campers show up. As somebody who's been a camp counselor, usually you just go like, all right, here's everything. And then you like hang out and play cards in the cafeteria for the rest of the night while you wait for the kids to show up. There's not like a lot going on.
This would have been really, really awkward if like Xavier hadn't invited four additional people that were not like signed up to be camp counselors, just like kind of on a whim, because otherwise it would have just been like Xavier and Margaret and the nurse hanging out. Really, like, if I was a kid and I showed up and those were the only three people running the camp, and I guess Birdie, the lunch lady, I'd be like, this camp kind of sucks. Like, the counselors have to be like kind of cool for like summer camp to be fun, unfortunately.
I would imagine that.
And if it was just Margaret, this camp would blow ass. Like, extremely. It would extremely blow ass.
Yeah, a camp counselor has to be willing and able to, like, know how much you need to let someone get away with so that they feel like they got away with something and will have that memory in their heart forever, but it won't actually, like, damage any property in a major way. That's, like, a very technical balancing act. Signed, a guy who worked with a couple other counselors and his entire squad of boys to wrap an entire cabin in so much yarn that cabin was late to breakfast, cutting themselves out the next morning.
Yeah, very controlled chaos.
Yeah. Rules. No one got hurt. There was a group that was pissed off with our cabin the rest of the weekend. It was awesome. I have a feeling a couple of those boys hold that memory in their heart deeply, because I sure do.
Yeah. Unfortunately, this camp has these guys as the counselors. One of which is like, we keep saying like, oh, it's weird that Brooke like just up and went out of like town with these people she just met. But she was in fact threatened by the real serial killer, Richard Ramirez, and that's her motivation. My thing is, I don't know, maybe things were different in the 70s. I guess there was, like, not as much, like, we didn't have social media or anything, so people interacted with each other differently. My thing would be, like, I don't want to invite, like, somebody whose vibes are, like, atrociously different from my pre-established squad, like, to a function where we're going to have that person with us nonstop for 3 months. Like, you vibe check that person before you invite them on a trip like that, because, like, it's been proven already. Brooke really, she doesn't have that dog in her like the other ones do. She's not really congruent with the other members of the group already. So to bring, to like bring her along feels less weird that Brooke decided to do it and more weird that the other ones were like, this is good, actually. We love having this person who's fundamentally different from us in every way with us and with our established friend group. Like, I don't know. It's weird.
They kind of treat her like a pet.
Yeah, a little bit, like, or like a foreign exchange student who doesn't like speak English. Like, they're like, this is our project. Yeah. This is our project, Brooke.
Yeah, but they don't seem like they're trying to help her at all, right? Like, you know what I mean? It's not like, hey, we'll get you out of your shell, like in the normal 80s kind of cliche thing. But
the other big difference, too, is like if you get a foreign exchange student to do their first keg stand, they come down from the keg stand and you all high five and hug and say, you woo, you did it, man. And it's like a great time as opposed to you'd lower Brooke and she would be like, oh, I don't feel good. I want to lie down. And it's like, OK, well, this isn't fun.
I'm never doing that again. And then she would just be sad for like the rest of the night. Yeah, it's a very weird dynamic. But like, alas, we have to have like the Puritan final girl, because every movie that they're ripping off has one of like, this is the good girl, and that's why she she lives to the end. That's the final girl trope, is the one who's like not a slut, is the one who doesn't die. What a good message to send to young women, including American Horror Story. Yeah, so they're hanging out by the fire, and the nurse is also there, so it's like our original cast and the nurse who are hanging out, and they offer the nurse weed, and the nurse is like, I only smoke cigarettes. This is relevant for some reason, I guess. Usually this would be a plot device to explain why a certain character had their faculties about them when the other ones didn't. It's not here. It's just a weird thing they have the nurse say.
Also, these characters constantly forget they smoked weed. Is like the, like, I know weed used to be softer and nicer and not as intense or whatever, but like these people are just like passively on like a 0.1% THC drip. Like, it is not noticeable.
Well, to be fair, they're like, they're doing weed and then immediately cocaine, which, I mean, to be fair, I've never done those things in that order. So like, I don't know, but it feels like to me, knowing what I know about the substances, that they kind of counteract each other in many ways. And you would be experiencing kind of a neutral experience.
I would say it's less that and more the cocaine would blow it out to an unbelievable degree. If you take two hits off of a joint and then snort a line of coke, you're on coke. Cocaine, the weed solos, isn't even like in the equation.
Yeah, that makes sense. And they,
when none I, of this is medical not, advice for our listeners, just throw that out there, you know?
But yeah. Not a doctor.
That's right. It's my professional medical opinion that you probably shouldn't do cocaine. Well, anyway.
At least not after weed. At least not after you smoke a joint. But yeah, I think that's like, that's the thing, is they're like, yeah, these kids do drugs, plural. And I'm like, I don't think people were like doing that. I think that like they were doing like one or the other, probably not both. Cause it's not like you can get crossfaded off of like a stimulant and a downer. It's just that one is going to win. It's going to be either one or the other. And like Ty said, it's probably going to be the cocaine. So it's weird that they have them doing both of these things, but I guess they wanted to emphasize that they're like hip young kids, so they smoke weed too, and they also drink. It's amazing that these like characters get anything done ever, because they're constantly under the effect of like a minimum three substances at all times. On the conservative side of estimating. But yeah, the nurse is like, I only do regular cigarettes. And then she's like, now that we're all settled and you guys have done your cocaine and weed, let me tell you about the murders that happened here at this summer camp that you just conveniently don't know about. And I want to say that, like, previously, like, the things that they are ripping off, like Friday the 13th, it's been, to be fair, it's been like a couple months since I last watched the Friday the 13th series. Every so often I get a wild hair and I'll rewatch it. So I have seen it like within 6 months, but I don't remember. Usually the characters who are like, say, the camp counselors, for example, like they are aware of the history of where they are going. It's just like a, oh, well, that happened 20 years ago, so it doesn't matter.
Who cares? Yeah, the whole idea is that, like, it is this, like, terrifying force of nature that's unstoppable, but, like, you don't know that. You just know that, like, some kids died here drowning, like, 20 years ago, right. Which isn't it? Yeah, it's not a thing to be worried about. It's like, damn, that's sad. Well, anyway. kids drown all sorts of places.
It's summer camp. Like, that's, like, one of the, like, biggest threats, I would think. Like, even if this wasn't a fictional universe, like, yeah, a kid drowning at summer camp is, like, a real tangible threat that could happen. Like, you can't just not be a counselor because that might happen. I mean, and if that is a concern, you just wouldn't be a camp counselor, like, realistically.
Right, yeah.
But then as, like, the nurse is talking about the murders, Brooke's like, oh, yeah, no, that's the guy who attacked me like 24 hours ago. And by the way, at this point, they're talking about like the murders, parentheses, real and active, meaning Richard Ramirez.
Ramirez, the real man
who's like not a character in the TV show, but is. Insane. Can you imagine like if you were just like making small talk with a person you'd never met before and you were like, yeah, have you heard about all those crazy like serial killings that have been going on like in the city that's really far away from here for some reason? And then that person was like, yeah, that dude tried to kill me last night and I escaped. I'm built different. That would be an insane conversation to have. I feel like my reaction would be like, you're lying. You're a pathological liar. And that's a lie. Because what the fuck are you talking about?
Hit him with a pan. Hit him with a big pan. Yep. He went bonk. He fell down.
And he ran away. And then he said Satan would help him find me. Is that cool
he
or what?
He ran away through my neighbor. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
He just teleported through him. Crazy shit.
No wonder the cops can't catch him.
And we hit him with a frying pan, like a cartoon. And it was totally fine. It worked out. Okay. I don't know why you're asking me these weird questions, but you know.
Princess Peach mode. Bonking him on the skull.
Going Tangled mode. Going Flynn Rider mode. Yeah. Like, that's the other thing is I'm like, that's like, you got, like, Brooke does actually have that dog in her. Cause like, the because this is what they keep fucking doing with this show by having real serial killers, is they are inadvertently, the subtext of what they are saying is, yeah, all the real people who got murdered by Richard Ramirez,
suckers.
Losers who just simply got skill diffed. Unfortunately, it's a skill gap between Brooke and every real person who died to Richard Ramirez, it turns out. Which is insane.
If I got murdered by somebody and then a TV show came along later and was like, yeah, that murderer was actually, you could breathe on him hard and he would die, I'd be like, come on, that's not true.
Now I look like I suck.
You could have just hit him with a pan if you like had a brain. Like, oh man.
Oh my god. It's really funny though in this specific scene because Brooke's like, yeah, that's the serial killer who attacked me last night. And Montana is like, oh my god. Are you still talking about that?
So annoying.
Montana, like, what the fuck? Like, I've taken piss is good enough. I've talked about him for 2 days. Like, what do you mean you're not over that? She got attacked by Richard Ramirez.
And hit him with a frying pan. Like, everything about the story is, like, amazing, actually. But
yeah, she survived, like, the current serial killer. Like, she's, like, yeah, I would never shut the fuck up about that. If I had, like, diffed a serial killer, I would absolutely never shut the fuck up about it. And this is 24 hours later, by the way.
Not even her annoying story yet.
Even if it was like a, oh yeah, this happened to Brooke like, I don't know, 3 years ago and she never stops talking about it. First of all, she's justified in doing so. But second of all, you literally have a character in your group whose only like defining feature is will not shut the fuck up about how much he hates the Olympics. Like, that's the only thing he talks about, like, ever.
Right? Yeah.
Because it's something that happened.
It's this total, like, not even, you can't even really call it a has-been moment, because it's like a never-was thing. It's like, damn it, I, stupid Olympics and catching me doing drugs. It's like, well, that's not really anyone's fault but your own, you know, Chad or whatever, Chet, you know, like, it's crazy. But
I was going to be on sports team, Slow Beef. I was going to be on the team. I was going to be on the team for the sport.
Can't you tell? Look at my body. Don't I have body for... activity.
I have abdominal muscle. Everybody knows that means I'm good at sport.
I would have won medal.
Like athlete.
Just me, not my team.
Yeah, not my team. My team for sport.
Right, exactly.
It has to be
a solo sport.
Like, it has to be a summer. I don't even know if they ever, like, because the thing is, if this was a better show, that would be relevant later. Like, if he was, like, a weightlifter, he might lift something heavy.
He would be competing in javelin.
Yeah.
He would be competing in javelin. And then later on, he would find a big stick that was shaped like a javelin, and he would throw it through a guy's head.
Yes.
Yes, 100%. And it would be sick, and we would all pop off and go, javelin! But, like, instead, they're just like, yeah, he was part of Olympics. Which one? You'll find out.
The one. Will. The Olympics. The Olympics.
Will he lift a big thing later? Maybe. I don't know. We didn't think that part through, you know, honestly.
He will whine about the Olympics a lot, though. Is that anything? Do you like that? Do you like that that's part of it? Like, I mean, I guess technically, and we'll get there in like a few minutes, but like, technically, him bitching about the Olympics does move the plot forward in a certain way, but like, not in a cool way or a way that makes him seem cool. It just will, unfortunately, move the plot forward, kind of like by circumstance of happening, in the same way that like stubbing your toe could also in theory move the plot forward in certain ways depending on what happens. But this is the part of the show that does our lore dump for the antagonist, kind of like every one of these movies that has this. Rita is like, well, time for me to talk about our Friday the 13th stand-in, our Jason Voorhees stand-in. Long time ago, there was a bunch of murders here, and they're like, whoa, what? And she's like, don't you think it's kind of weird that they hired all of us with no experience? And I'm like, wait a second, you are a nurse. Like, you established you are, like, at least a nurse, yeah? Like, you're not just, like, some lady, and they're like, you're the nurse now. You are the nurse here. And I'm like, it is weird. It is very weird that they hired none of you, like, at all. None of the, like, four of these people didn't get hired. They just showed up and were like, we're camp counselors. And Margaret was like, okay, that's fine. Yeah, it's good that you're here, because I don't have any other camp counselors besides Xavier. So it's good you showed up, actually. And then she's like, okay, here's the lowdown. I'm going to just say out loud the cutscene that you guys watched at the beginning of the television show. So it's 1970 again in this story. And a man named Benjamin Richter damn near killed her, AKA, and here's where they revealed the name of this motherfucker, Mr. Fucking Jingles. Mr. Jingles is our antagonist. Mr. Fucking Jingles. Oh,
that's a
my
cat's
God.
Name. Help. That's not a killer's name.
It is such a cat's
help.
Name.
I'm getting skinkamarinked by Mr. Jingles. Help. Help, I'm in the damn skinkamarink phone in here. Mr. Jingles is coming at me. Like, it's such a dumb fucking name.
If you can bash Richard Ramirez with a frying pan, you can certainly do that to Mr. Jingles.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know those soft staffs they have, like, on American Gladiators? Like, some few people are on, like, a platform. So it's like, you could probably take on Mr. Jingles with one of those, you know? But
yeah.
I imagine you throw one heavy drop kick at Mr. Jingles' dick, and it just makes a noise like at a state fair when you hit the hammer real good and it dings a bell at the top. One of those.
Right.
He does, like, the Looney Tunes. Awooga! His eyes, like, pop out of his head. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Like, you're not scaring me with a guy named Mr. Jingles. Like, for what it's worth, if you want me to lower my guard and I'm getting ready to go into a boxing match, be like, yeah, you're about to box Mr. Jingles. I'll be like, yeah, all right, man.
Yeah, there's only, like, there is one of three ways that the name Mr. Jingles could go. It's literally one of three things. And unfortunately, I think American Horror Story thinks it's the last thing that I'm going to say. It can either be A, what Slow Beef said. It's a cat. Mr. Jingles is a cat for sure.
Yeah, two, 100%.
Generously scary clown. Like very generously scary yeah. clown. And okay. three, very like it's supposed to be like a very like disarming like oh big whoop Mr. Jingles how scary well, could Mr. Jingles like, be
like a big guy being played for comedy like a big guy named Smalls you yeah. know like that kind of shit
or like yeah. Tiny like the big scary man named like Tiny
yeah
but like that right. I need you to understand listener if you're not watching along that is very not what they're doing here it's just oh he's Mr. Jingles because he likes the sound of keys jingling I'm doing the jerk off motion with my hand. It means nothing and is for nobody. Like literally that's it is yeah. they call him Mr. Jingles because he likes to hear keys jingle. Period. That's the end of it.
Mr. Jingles would be absolutely enthralled by me interacting with Zoomers, just holding up keys, shaking them every other sentence, being like, look, look, look.
He's literally the meme. He's literally the meme of yeah. like jingling keys in front of him to distract him of like, ooh, do you like this? And it's just jingling your car keys in front of his face. Oh my God. But Benjamin Richter went crazy in Vietnam and he loved killing people so much that he was honorably discharged for cutting off the enemy's ears and apparently like he went back to kill more people in Vietnam and they were like all right you've had enough get out of here
you're cut off from all the killing
yeah you like this too much it's one of those things where it's like okay well this isn't technically like you are allowed to do this like rules of war or whatever but you're enjoying it yeah you're enjoying it like too much like we got to get you out of here
yeah, you're creeping the other soldiers out and it's bad for morale. We need you to kill people in like a cool, sexy way and you're like licking their ears afterwards and that's no good.
Yeah. you've cut them off of their right. head also, and then you start like licking them.
Also really weird to have his obsession be cutting people's ears off and he loves killing so much. And then his thing is jingling keys.
I love keys. Yeah, I love listening to jingling keys. It's my favorite. Like, and it's not like, oh, it's because they remind him of something. It's just, no, also he loves jingling keys. Like, that's unrelated to everything else.
So I don't know if this is a real thing or what. I will say, though, there's a movie called Dead Presidents where there is a character, because it takes place in, part of it takes place in Vietnam, where a character is taking the ears and like body parts off of like Viet Cong soldiers he kills, which like, again, I don't know that American Horror Story is ripping that off, but like at this point, like the burden of proof is on them that they're not. So I feel like that is maybe counts as something they're stealing, but I'll just yeah. say, you know, yeah. But
I mean,
also like the collecting ears and scalps and stuff is like a thing that's been going on since time immemorial. Essentially, whenever we don't have laws where even nations that are at war with each other are like, okay, we're at war, but don't do any of this particularly fucked up shit, and we won't do this fucked up shit to you, okay?
Yeah.
And, like, that's part of it, is, like, don't just, like, dismember their bodies for funsies. Like, don't do that.
I do regrettably think at least part of it, I think it's not outside of the realm of possibility that they are stealing that specific detail, but, like, the detail of, like, character, who is the antagonist, was in Vietnam and came back crazy, and now he's crazy, is, like, fully just ripped from Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Both the remake yeah. and the second movie. It is just fully ripped from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2 and
also,
the remake.
Much like telling girls if they're ever loose, they're going to get killed by a guy with a chainsaw, it's super good to tell all of society, if you come back from war, you can't be trusted because you're crazy.
Yeah.
That's healthy.
You will do
That's
murder.
Like, super good.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely not problematic for our veterans.
Yeah. Which, like I said, stealing it from Texas Chainsaw, Texas Chainsaw, the remake specifically, makes it very clear that, like, yeah, the really, really shitty guys are the ones who are like, yeah, we love going to Vietnam and killing people. Like, that's very clearly said as like a, this is not the good guy. Whereas here it's like, it'll make you a cool, sick fucking serial killer that like, you have a cool name and you'll do like
yeah,
cool crimes.
No jingles.
Yeah. Yeah, and so this is a known quantity, because she's like, he did this, got dishonorably discharged, and then the only job he could get is to be a janitor at a summer camp. And I'm like, okay, so other people, like, back in America know he's like this, because he can't get a job anywhere else, but this summer camp that has children at it was like, I think he'll be a good fit. I think he should work here.
We gotta support the troops.
Yeah.
We gotta support the troops. What about if the troops are murdering children and cutting their ears off? Well, you have to support, like, the concept at least.
Right.
Not
yeah.
the individual.
Yeah. Like, it's like, so you guys knew when you hired him that he did this? And you were like, it'll probably be fine. He's just going to be, like, the janitor. Like, what's the worst he could get up to? You know, the least supervised position with, like, the least amount of rules. It'll be fine. It's totally cool. He'll be fine.
Give him the loud keys so we always know where he is. Maybe he'll even like them. Who knows, right?
Yeah.
Like,
this is, maybe that's it. Maybe they figured that out and they were like, shh, we know what the secret is. You just gotta give him see, if we make him a janitor has more keys than, like, anybody else. So, like, he'll always be placated because he'll always have the big ring with all the keys on it. And so he'll never go apeshit monkers bananas and kill a bunch of people. They were wrong, but good
yeah.
thought.
It sounded,
good effort.
Yeah. It sounded good. Yeah, yeah.
What they should have done is given him big-ass cowboy boots with big old spurs that went jingle-jangle as he walked down. And then, it would have been fine. Then they would have just been like, hey, Mr. J with his cool-ass boots, what's up? Hey!
Oh, my God. So, basically, like, there's not anything else interesting about this scene. She just, like, is like, oh, and now we get to see the scene from the beginning of the show, but now we get to see him. And it's just, I cannot overstate just, like, a big guy. He's played by the guy who played Twisty, but he's just, like, a man. He's literally just, like, a guy. He doesn't have anything special about him. They put him into the janitor outfit because I think they're trying to evoke a Michael Myers-type situation, but he is just wearing a janitor outfit, so it's not like anything for
anybody. That's the thing, right? Like, he's not intimidating in any way. He really is just, like, some dude, you know. And it's like,
if this dude rolled up on me with a knife pulled, I'd be worried for sure, but I wouldn't be like, I need to run or else this thing's gonna haunt me to the end of the earth.
Right?
Know?
Yeah, exactly.
I'd be like, damn, brother, how are your keys jingling that loud? Or, how'd you get, like, the decibels cranked up on those bad boys?
Or, like, Jason is imposing in a different way. Like, he's, like, you could be, like, oh, well, he's just a guy in a hockey mask. But, like, he's imposing. Like, there's something with Jason. Then he's mysterious at least, right? Like,
also, the fact that he's wearing a hockey mask and, like, doesn't emote and doesn't respond even in these incredibly high-tension situations. Like, that is a thing. That is an unnatural response, so it freaks you out a little bit. Like, everyone else in the room is panicking, and here's this guy who's just a stone.
Right,
know?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I think,
but
even in, like, the second one, where he's got, like, the bag on his head before he gets the hockey mask, even then, it's like, okay, something is up with this guy. Like, something's amiss, because nobody does that. Like, if somebody walks up to you and has, like, a satchel tied over their head and is just, like, staring at you, you're like, okay, I don't know what your deal is, but, like, you clearly have a deal. Like, with this guy walked up, I'd be like, hey, are you here to empty the trash cans, or do I need to, like, leave so you can, like, clean something up, or what's going on?
Yeah.
I don't understand.
What's with the weird big guy, everybody? You know, like, it's, yeah, but
I think that would be my initial reaction. I would be like, holy shit, that guy's big. And then I'd be like, as you were, sir, have fun doing janitor stuff or whatever it is that you're here to do. And then he'd whip out his pyramid head knife and I'd be like, oh, fuck.
Or a giant key, the great key, they call it. But yeah,
they should have given him a keyblade.
Oh. I wish this dude had a keyblade. Oh, man.
If anyone deserves a keyblade, it's this fucking guy.
So, that's, yeah, so we see the intro again of Mr. Jingles killing all the counselors. And then Margaret shows up and goes, hey, no drinking. We were just talking over this. Also, hey, that's not how the story went. Let me tell you how it actually went. And, like, surprising no one, she's like, oh, actually only 9 of the 10 people died because I was the other one. And then it flashes back to 1970 and she's all covered in blood. Because when Mr. Jingles cut off everyone's ear, she just like lied in a pile of bodies, I guess, and pretended to be dead, and it worked out.
And it works out so well because then she's like, and Mr. Jingles cut off my ear, but I didn't give him any reaction whatsoever, which is like, all right, I guess, but I don't think you could do that, Mark, you know?
No.
Jesus helped her.
No, absolutely. No, you would have some involuntary, like, fuck, at the very least. Like, yeah, no way are you zero reacting, getting your ear cut off. Sorry, lady.
Yeah, and in case it wasn't obvious, because, like, we've cut this into three parts, because it's a long-ass episode, Midge is short for Margaret. So Midge from the beginning. Midge. Margaret. Ta-da. Yeah. You can also shorten Margaret to Peggy, which I think is fucked up, but that's neither here nor there.
Wait, that's what... That's insane.
Yeah. It sucks. Weird, right? It sucks a lot. It sucks real bad. It's like Hank and Henry. It sucks real bad. We should stop doing it.
Peggy?
Yeah.
Peggy, yeah.
Peggy can also be short for Elizabeth. Fun fact. It sucks. I don't know who's making rules.
Yeah, I was trying to, I just never considered Peggy was short for anything, like, other than, like, Pegathon. Like, what are we talking about?
Naturally, it's short for Margaret, obviously. What else would it be short for? But Midge is also a shortening of Margaret. At least Midge makes sense, like, a little bit.
Kind of.
It's got the letters.
Yeah.
It's got the vibe.
It's like a cute little shortening of Margaret. Like, Marge is another one, obviously. But then you have Peggy, which is the other one.
So you're telling me it could be Peggy Simpson?
Yeah.
Yes.
Legally?
Yes.
Yes.
That's crazy. Yes. For some reason, that's the only part of this that's truly unacceptable, is that in an alternate universe, they named her Peggy Simpson and Margaret of the Hill.
Yeah. Yeah. It sucks.
That's fucked up.
It's really fucked up.
Right?
It's super fucked up.
So after she explains that she survives, she says that Mr. Jingles was arrested, like, yeah, probably, and she testified against him, which, I'll be honest, don't know how much testimony you need for, hey, that guy who was dishonorably discharged for killing people and cutting their ears off, where he was working, we found 9 dead kids with their ear cut off and 1 alive kid with her ear cut off. And we think it might be that guy. I think the jury's probably going to be like, yeah, it was him. What are we doing here?
Why did you guys hire him in the first place? What were you thinking? Yeah. But like, yeah, she says it like, oh, like I was the one who put him away. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure, they would have figured it out, I think, without you. I don't think your testimony was like necessary and necessarily like getting him put away. But like, I'm sure it helped if it makes you feel better.
Yeah. Dagger of Amon-Ra, this was not, miss. He killed a bunch of guys. We know. We saw it. And then after that, she explains that I bought the camp to reclaim my memories of it. And don't tell the kids about this when they show up later, which like.
I would hope not. Right. Like, why did that go? Didn't that go without saying? Or?
Hey, yeah. Kids, a lot of people died here. Is that fucked up or what? It's not like a ghost story or anything. It's a real thing that happened. Do you like this? Oh, you want to go home now, pussy? me as a camp counselor.
Just fucking crybaby. Go home.
So what? 3 people died exactly in the bed that you're laying in. Big whoop. Who cares? They changed the sheets. Who gives a shit? Yes, it's the same mattress. Like, who cares?
His name's Mr. Jingles. What are you afraid of, kid? Come on. Which, to be fair.
Get it together. If you hear some jingling, maybe skedaddle. But otherwise, you'll be fine.
Just don't fuck at this camp and it won't happen or whatever.
So now we cut to the hiker who had gotten launched by a car and was already all cut up and bloodied up. And somehow in the investigation of this guy, no one at any point noticed he had his fucking ear cut off, which is crazy, by the way, because that would be like one of the first things you say after being like, did you just hit me with your car? Is like, I got my ear cut off. That feels like that's like number two on the list. Especially if, for example, you were Margaret and you were like worried about a killer running around who cuts ears off. You think you might have your head on a swivel about this.
No, no, it's fine. It's fine that he has it. He obviously got lost and was like dehydrated, and that's what his ear fell off. It's fine. That happens. You get dehydrated and lost in the woods and your ear falls off. It's no big deal.
Yeah, that happened to Van Gogh.
Yeah, exactly.
Famously. Yeah, and then Brooke's like, I'm gonna go check on the guy no one gives a shit about because I'm the only one with any empathy. Everyone else is a sociopath, I guess. And then he's gone. And she's like, oh, fuck. And we see, like, a little shot of a hand holding a scalpel. And we're like, uh-oh. And I, like, you're supposed to be like, uh-oh. And then Brooke goes to, this is so funny. Brooke goes to turn on the lights in the dark-ass, like, nurse's cabin. And the light just fucking explodes. No one, like, cut the power. The light just fucking explodes. Which means it would have done that no matter who had flipped it or whatever the circumstances were. It would have just exploded. No matter what. Which is insane.
That's fine. It's fine.
Whoever wired this house did a dog shit job.
Is that like a common failure mode for an incandescent light bulb? Because I've never seen that. I'm wondering if anyone else had, like, does that happen often? Because usually it's just the wire gets too hot and it melts and then it breaks the circuit. But like,
I mean, you're the one with the camp counselor experience. So if you're telling me that doesn't happen, I believe it.
Yeah. None of them blew up on me. Yeah. None of that.
Oh, my God. It's like when you, like, fuck up in, like, the Incredible Machine game. When you're, like, trying to build, like, a Rube Goldberg, but, like, you put too many wires. And then by the time it gets to the end, the light bulb just explodes. That's how they built this camp, it turns out. It's so funny because, like, most horror movies would be like, oh, the power's out because of the storm that's happening. But alas, they're like, no, she goes to flip the light switch and the bulb just fucking explodes and she does not think that's weird. The hiker's awake and we keep calling him the hiker. That's his name. Like, legally in the credits, that's his name is the hiker.
Right.
They don't give him a name. They give some characters who literally have 2 seconds of screen time a name. This guy doesn't get a name, though he is a plot device. And he's like, you shouldn't be here, and then doesn't explain what that means. And then he's like, the phone lines are down. You can't call for help. And I'm like, it really feels like you should be giving more information. It really feels like there's some missing, like, blanks that you need to be filling in for her, like, now. But because of the plot, they don't. He just is, like, very cryptic about it. Like, ouch, the phone is down, and you should leave. And she's like, no, it's fine. We're at Camp Redwood. You're safe. And he starts tweaking. And I'm like, I assumed you knew you were at Camp Redwood because you just told her very ominously that she shouldn't be there.
Oh, wait. This is a different camp. I'm sorry. No, okay. Well,
I thought this was a different murder camp. My bad. I thought I was in I was at Camp Crystal Lake or whatever. And she doesn't think this is weird. Like, he starts tweaking out about camp, like, starts tweaking out about it. And she's like, he's probably just tired. This is normal. And this is my problem with a lot of horror stuff, but specifically, like, this in particular, is when a character who has no motivation to, like, fuck with other people gives, like, very urgent information, and everyone's like, you big jokester. You're such a prankster.
You fucking scamp.
Yeah.
You were always such a kidder.
Yeah. I'm like, you gain nothing by not believing this person. What the fuck are you doing? Like, what do you mean?
You hit him with your car. Can you, like, pay attention a little bit? I think he deserves that.
Yeah, you owe him one at least, right?
At the very least, ask for, like, clarification, because if someone's fucking with you, they probably haven't thought that far. But if they immediately are like, yeah, there's a fucking serial killer here and a bunch of people died and they're gonna fucking kill more people, then you'd be like, oh, okay, that wasn't just, you're not making this up. You have all that information on deck. You're probably not fucking with me, actually. But she's like, you're silly. Go lay back down. And then she just leaves him and goes and meets up with the others and is like, yeah, that was crazy. Time to introduce a new character, though. Chad Thundercock's here. I don't actually remember what this guy's name is. We'll find out in a second. New character. Trevor. Yeah.
Trevor.
New guy who is 28 or 55 years old, kicks open the door. And he has short shorts on and a handlebar mustache. And we're supposed to just like be like, oh, he's the cool, fun guy who's like a little bit older than the rest of the group. Maybe? Question mark. I guess.
He really comes off as having that, like, you know what I love about high school girls?
Yeah, right?
Getting older, they stay the same age. Yeah. Like, he's got that vibe about him, but it's also like he's interacting with people who are like, post-college students or something. Like,
this is very specific. Weird. He has, like, Duffman energy from, like, The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like, I don't know how to describe it other than that. Like, he's not talking about himself in the third person, but it feels like he is all
he
the
may
time.
As well be.
Right.
Yeah.
Like,
and then he's supposed to be like,
cool. The Trevor man made a bet with himself that he was going to sleep with Margaret before the end of camp. $50. Oh, yeah. Like,
yeah. And like, literally, Chet's like, wait, how do you make a bet with yourself? That's not a joke, by the way. He says that. And then Chet's like, wait, how do you make a bet with yourself? And Trevor's like, fuck you, loser. Anyway, I was on Three's Company. And this whole character introduction happens while we're getting like several POV of the killer watching from outside shots that are like 1-to-1 Friday the 13th, just like straight ripped from Friday the 13th, with the unsteady camera and everything. And then Montana's like, ooh, I've been so horny for Trevor for forever, because he's like been in a Jane Fonda video, because we need to name drop some more stuff that's from this time frame, right. I guess.
She was obsessed with jazzercise, and when she says she was obsessed with jazzercise, she means jilling off to a guy in the background, I guess.
I feel like it'd be hard to jerk your peanuts while also doing jazzercise. Those are two very, like, they really require a lot of, like, focus, I think, one or the other. It's really hard to do both at the same time, I imagine.
You can't multitask that shit, no.
It's real, like, patting your head, rubbing your stomach shit. Like, you just can't do both of them.
Right. I mean, don't phrase it like a challenge to me, but, you know, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So we're supposed to, I guess, understand that there's sexual tension between Montana and Trevor now. And then they go to the lake to go skinny dipping, and he starts eating her cooch underwater, which seems like a great way to drown, frankly, or get an amoeba, like one of the two.
Yeah. Like, at best, you're getting some water up in there, which that's a very carefully pH balanced, delicate zone. You don't want to be just shoving Lake Michigan up in there. Or you're swallowing a bunch of Lake Michigan, which also isn't great. You're going to get, like, Giardia or something.
Yeah. Also, like, not for nothing, but, like, the thing about water is, like, it, I don't know if you've ever tried, like, punching in the water or doing anything that requires, like, any amount of physical friction or, like, movement. Yeah. But water does make it so there's a lot less friction and a lot less, like, force behind any activity. I'm just saying.
And maybe this is a hot take. I like being able to breathe while I'm eating pussy.
Yeah, really, if I die, I die shit from Trevor here. And they're treading
also,
water. They're treading water.
What if I'm too good at what I do and she wraps her legs around my neck and then I die like fucking Xena in Goldeneye or whatever? Like,
that's what I'm saying. Is like nobody wins. Plus, like, I don't know. I would think that, like, I would be too focused on treading water to, like, enjoy it if I was Montana. Because they're in, like, a deep fucking lake treading water. Like, it's not... all of it seems bad. The whole situation seems bad.
Draw a diagram of this or something. Or, like, mock it up in Blender. I don't get, like, it's so much to play.
Trying to relax so I gently float on my back, but the pussy keeps lifting into the air. And I gotta be like, wait, get back down here.
Oh my god, the hot new indie game. I got it. We're coming out.
It's got the same fucking like mechanics as Quap or whatever. Yeah. It's the same function. Yeah.
Quap, but you're eating pussy underwater. Exactly. Yeah.
This is gonna sell. This is gonna sell like crazy. So yeah, this is like the sex scene, I guess. This is supposed to be like hot, but it's mostly just like impractical and weird.
It's like, I mean, there's like beds, you know? But so the whole conceit here is he's underwater, Montana's above water. She sees some headlights point at them directly in the lake, and then she's just like, we gotta go. I saw headlights pointed directly at us, so like, we've been perceived by someone.
But the person, whoever it ends up being, because it's not ever revealed who it is, whoever is over there, A, they're like 300 feet away. They're super far away. And B,
oh, it's like half a kilometer. Yeah. It's like really out there.
They're insanely far away. And also, there's no universe in which you know what the fuck Trevor is doing. It's a pitch black lake, and he's doing the most inconceivable act you could possibly imagine. There's no way whoever's like up there knows what's going on. 0% chance.
You could get away with it by telling people. Just like, oh, he's eating my pussy. Like, yeah, okay, sure. Like, maybe he should be in the Olympics.
My ass would be less surprised if he came up with a basket completely woven. Not bad.
Or like a funny little seashell or something. Like he had been down there rummaging around for like treasure or something. Like, there's no way I would guess what he was doing, because who the fuck would do that? Now it's time for our Halloween-esque backstory. And by that, I mean we are just fully ripping off Halloween for the next 5 minutes of TV. Most of the Halloween movies, actually, like the Rob Zombie one, like the original one, this is just Halloween. This setup is just Halloween. We're somewhere else now, nondescript, and we're following the perception of a psychiatrist named Dr. Hop, who's played by Orla Bradley and is only in this season. And she's pulling up to a sanatorium that has all of the people escaped. And they're all like, ooh, we're loose. We're all loose. And this is fine. It's cool that, like, and this is a criminal sanatorium where people aren't supposed to be loose. It's not just like a regular one where people can walk around. They did a bad thing. And so now they're locked up. But they're all out and about. And they're, like, in the security guard booth and stuff, and it's fine.
Yeah.
And no one thinks that's bad or tries to get them inside. They're like, it's cool. Let them have a little day out. It's okay. We have bigger problems.
Look, one guy got out and he happened to be aware of the big red button that says let everyone out, and he pressed that. We don't know in retrospect why we have that button. It seems wildly unnecessary, but we do have that button, and he did find it and press it and then left. So, like, we gotta wrangle this, I guess.
I know you're all gonna give me shit for the button, but I swear to God, it was a good idea, okay?
Like, it's actually for fire code, you fucking animals.
That's what I was...
What if we gotta let them all out at once for a fire?
I had that thought as I was like, because I'm like, who the fuck would have a button that's the let everybody out button? That's fucking stupid. What the fuck are you talking about? And then I'm like, okay, well, I could see how it would be something you might have to legally have, but it would definitely 100% be somewhere that would be hard to get to. It would not be
on the wall.
Yeah.
And you know what? If there really was, there's no world where Ryan Murphy and Brad Falchuk looked that up. So yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
for sure. I think they probably saw it in like a Batman movie where like the Joker lets everybody out or something and was like, ah, yeah, that's a real thing that real people have. Arkham Asylum's based on real life.
Capture the flag. That's right. If you get the point, then everyone's free.
Yeah. Honestly, fair.
So we now get to see how this incredible escape happened. That's right, baby. It's another fucking flashback to, like, I don't know, like 3 hours ago, something like that. So an orderly is getting ready to give meds to Mr. Jingles through the slot in the door and goes, hey, it's medication time. Jingle, jingle, you love this shit. Come get it. And no response. He looks through and sees, oh, this guy seems to have hung himself. And instead of doing what... So you might think, okay, well, obviously you have to, like, alert somebody and have a team of probably two or three people to, like, look into this. unless you like ran in and had like a panic of just like, oh fuck, no, and like we're running. Like that's the one way this would make sense, is if they had an orderly who like had too big of a heart, who had an emotional reaction. Luckily for us, these writers are hacks. So instead, he opens the door right away to go in there. But instead, he just kind of like pokes at the body and goes, I'm glad you're dead, you piece of shit. Which like...
Yeah.
Insane relationship to have with the wards, for the record. That's crazy. Like,
I'm
don't get me wrong,
you.
Like, the guards aren't supposed to be like buddy-buddy with the prisoners or whatever, but you're not supposed to be like, I hope you die tomorrow.
Yeah. they are straight up ripping this off of the Rob Zombie. Like the Rob Zombie Halloween. Like that's literally like there is a good cop bad cop situation with the orderlies and Michael Myers, where like all of the orderlies are very shitty to Michael Myers except for one who's played by, and I'm not joking, Danny Trejo. Yeah.
And doesn't he kill him too? Yes. I kind of forget.
Yeah, because
so, like, what the fuck, Mike Myers?
And he's like, Mikey, I was good. That's his like dying words, is Mikey, I was good to you. Mikey, I was so good to you. And I'm like, Rob Zombie, what are we doing? But yeah, it's like the same thing of like an orderly like goes in to like check on Michael Myers and like he gets out. Like it's in the same like antagonistic orderlies situation. Yeah. And then he's like, you fucking idiot. And he like pushes him like he's a pinata. And I'm like, hey, did you know? I'm saying this to Ryan Murphy and Brad Fulchek, which they certainly don't, because this would have been avoided. If you're in a psych ward of any caliber, but especially like a high caliber psych ward,
your ass doesn't get loose sheets.
Yeah, you're not getting sheets, and you're not getting a chair. You're not getting chair or sheets or anything close to either of those things because of this exact situation. Those are like the two things they specifically don't give you because of this. whatever. And the orderly's like rude and is like,
unfortunately
good.
For these orderlies, Mr. Jingle's weird power is he can spawn sheets. You'd think they'd call him Mr. Sheets, but no, it's the keys.
Cooler power, actually. Being able to spawn sheets is pretty cool.
Fiberman. Here he goes.
This is how he got into the army, actually. They're like, yeah. Whoa, we can just spawn sheets.
Whoa.
You're in. Welcome to Vietnam, soldier.
This is going to be useful later. And as he's like, the orderly's like pushing him around, in the funniest possible move, Mr. Jingles just has his like eyes open, like the I wake, I sleep Shaq meme. And is like, just kidding. I was pretending to be dead, and kills the orderly. And I'm like, you can just do that? You can just pretend to be hung? This has to be stolen from another movie. It has to be. The bed sheets has to be stolen from another movie. There's no 100%. Way that the writers knew that this was a thing.
They like they try to show him as he's taking himself down that like he had tied an extra loop and like put it around his waist so
like
he was being supported by his waist like a magician.
Yeah.
But like. Yeah, it's really like, dog, did you like work special effects at the fucking Magic Castle? How do you know how to do this? what do you mean you set up a hip harness? You don't know how to do that.
How many
You're
sheets
a janitor
did they give you?
Went to Vietnam. Yeah.
Yeah, it's
and
so
then,
funny.
Yeah, here's where we find out he has an affectation. Because after he kills this orderly, he grabs his keys out of his pocket and gives him a shake and is like, this is good stuff.
Love this shit. They were calling me Mr. Whoa. Jingles back then. They knew ahead of time, I guess, that I was going to love this shit. Yeah.
Yeah, I get it now. I'm into it.
Unfortunately, the let everybody out of the sanatorium button is like right outside of his room. So he just like walks up to a panel and is like, bing, bang, boom, everybody's free. Have fun, everyone. And then nice. We cut back to the present time. And Dr. Hop, who is our Dr. Loomis stand-in from Halloween, is like, oh, what, Michael, Mr. Jingles, where have you gone? And then fortunately, Mr. Jingles happened to put a newspaper clipping of exactly where he was going to go into the corner of the room for her to find. She's like, whoa, he's going to go to this camp. Who could have guessed that this is where he would go?
Also, like, So here's what I'm running into here. What is his thing? Is his thing that he was a Vietnam vet? Is it that he cuts off ears? Is it that he likes keys? Or is it that he really likes harassing this one camp? Because, like, he's kind of doing all of them and thus none of them.
Yeah. I think you'll find that that's the reoccurring theme of this season.
Cool. Okay, sick. Look forward to it.
Yeah, so now we're back in a different place but the same time. And Ed, remember Ed, the Harbinger trope? He is working on his car, under his car. And his cat, Bella, who gets a name that he says out loud, jump scares him. And he's like, "Aw, you silly cat." And then as he's under the fucking car, by the way, this is a ripoff of Halloween 2018. Michael Myers does this to a person in Halloween 2018. He sees Boots walk up to the edge of the car he's underneath, and he hears, very clearly hears, the loud-ass jingling keys, and is like, "Hey, buddy, we're closed." And I'm like, you literally 20 minutes ago told a bunch of teenagers or young adults or whatever, don't go to Camp Redwood. You're gonna die up there. And I'm like, there's no reason you would say that unless you knew who Mr. Jingles was. So you hear the jingling and you're like, that could be anybody. There's no other person that could be on the day that Camp Redwood opens. There's physically no other person that could possibly be. Whatever. And then Mr. Jingles kills him by driving the car on him. And it's just a ripoff of Halloween 2018.
And then he takes his keys.
And then he takes his keys. Yeah, because he's Mr. Jingles.
I love keys.
He fucking loves keys. He would love Kingdom Hearts. I'm just saying. It's time for...
Or like a hardware store.
Ooh, that's a good one. Don't take this guy to a Home Depot. He's going to act up.
Yeah. He hates lockpicks, though, weirdly enough. They don't jingle the same way. It drives him crazy.
No, I get that. Yeah.
It's time to bitch about the Olympics even more for this episode. We're watching the Olympics.
Everybody's hanging out in the living room of one of the cabins, I guess, and they're just watching a little TV, and everyone's talking about how, it's crazy. Did you know that the athletes have, like, a bunch of sex before the Olympics? Which, that's, like, a true thing. It's known as tapering. If you train super-duper hard for, like, 9 months and then stop all at once, you get a lot of pent-up energy, and a lot of it is expressed as insane levels of horniness.
They have to make anti-fuck beds.
Absolutely.
They literally have to make anti-fuck beds at the Olympics because people be fucking too much at the Olympics.
Like, the athletes can't just lift each other and do it standing. Come on, Japan. Get real. Do you know how many positions an athlete can have sex in? Try me. Oh, God. And so they're all talking about it. And then Chet starts being really mad in the background. Like, just starts talking shit about the Olympics. He crushes his beer can and throws it at Ray, which... For what it's worth, insane velocity and spin on this can to, like, slice someone's hand open deeply. Like, a crazy throw.
Sport doer.
Turns the damn thing into a shuriken. Yeah.
It's because he's an athlete. He was going to go pro at Olympics until pissed.
Wounding his friend with a can?
Yeah.
Is that an event?
I mean, in the 80s, probably. Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Before they took, like, smoking out of the Olympics. And so Ray kind of, like, rolls up and starts working on his hand or whatever. And then Brooke helps him in the bathroom and is going to go find bandages, which... good note here, Liz. Why did both of them go to the bathroom and not the infirmary? If there's a known infirmary with bandages and medical supplies.
Not the outhouse or the communal showers. Yeah. That's where I go to look for bandages. It's like the outhouse where we keep bandages, Also tetanus. That's also where we keep tetanus, it turns out. A shame.
Yeah.
But Mr. Jingles also rolls up in the truck that he just stole from the Harbinger guy. I don't know how he got to that gas station before that, but he has the truck now.
Yeah, The layout of this camp is insane, by the way. Like, all of the buildings are simultaneously attached and also a 10-minute walk apart from each other at all yeah. times. So, like, sometimes they'll be like, oh, yeah, let's go over there. And they'll just instantly be there. And other times it'll be like, oh, no, we're running away, but we won't find any help for at least 10 more minutes of running. And it's like, what do you mean? How?
I think it's just a reflection on Brooke being stupid later. I think it's just a reflection on Brooke being really bad at pathfinding, really bad at navigation.
Same girl, same. yeah. So they start looking around for bandages. Oh, also, I forgot to mention, Mr. Jingles at some point rolls up in the truck and is on site now. And that's all you really need to know is he's on site and it's raining. So Brooke starts looking around for bandages, and then she finds the hiker nailed to the door with knives. Like, there are multiple knives in him, sticking him to the door. Like,
Michael Myers
art
shit.
Art piece.
Yeah.
Is that Michael Myers yes. shit? Okay, because yeah. I was going to say, the amount of strength it would take to, like, lift a guy up and also stick him to a door.
There's
a
lot of...
That's a three-person project. Yeah. That's a three-person project, at least.
It's such an impressive feat that when Michael Myers does it, he, like, steps back and is like, holy shit, I can do that? Like, it even impresses Michael Myers when he does it. He's like, whoa, I nailed a guy to the wall with a knife? That's fucking crazy.
That's crazy.
There's a lot of...
If I saw Michael Myers do that, I'd be like, that's fucking crazy. Like, they just have it happen off screen, and it's like, he's just a normal man. He just came back from Vietnam and, like, had mental problems. He wasn't magic.
He loves keys. That's all you need to know. He's super dead. The hiker, super fucking dead. And then she sees Mr. Jingles outside and is like, ah, I know Mr. Jingles when I see him, even though he's just a guy and no one knows what he looks like. And then she runs back through the rain to get to the others, and she beefs it like 6 times. It is raining like really hard, so like I'll give that to her. Usually when like horror movie characters beef it, it's for no reason. It is fucking like downpouring. She does get fucking haymakered by a tree branch though and rolls down a hill, which is pretty funny. She somehow makes it back to the cabin and is like,
I like how you say haymakered by a tree branch as though the tree branch had agency and aimed. Like, what? It's not really Brooke's fault. That tree branch came out of nowhere. It swung as hard as it could at her.
That's the haymaker tree. We put it there on purpose because it loves haymaker and kids. it's a real problem.
Number 2 body count behind Mr. Jingles, actually, is the haymaker tree.
Number three, because number 1 is drowning.
Oh, right, drowning.
Yeah.
Drowning.
Richard Ramirez coming in fourth, yes.
Yeah. and she makes it back to the cabin, and she's totally fucked up and covered in, like, mud and stuff for rolling down the hill. And she's like, holy shit, Mr. Jingles is here, we have to fucking go. And they're like, what? And she's like, I know it was him. I saw his raincoat.
I
and
saw
I'm like,
his raincoat.
What part of the lore was the raincoat? I don't remember a raincoat being part of the Mr. Jingles lore. What the fuck are you talking about? What fucking raincoat? Like, he's just
you
wearing
a
coat.
You saw a guy in a raincoat. It's raining, Brooke. What do you mean?
Yeah. It wasn't.
I saw a man with an umbrella. It's raining. Yeah. A lot of guys have umbrellas.
Like, it's not like the hockey mask thing, because that's the thing is, like, when Jason first puts on the hockey mask and, like, he comes back up and, like, the person he encounters tries to tell people he's like, oh, he's this guy with a hockey mask. Like, this is literally like a raincoat. Like, and it's raining. So, like, this isn't anything. Anyway, I saw his raincoat. And then she's like, also, I heard the keys. And I'm like, probably should have led with that part, given that that's his, like, defining feature, is the keys thing. Anyway, Trevor and the boys are like, we're gonna go fuck him up. And they went outside to, like, find him, and he's obviously not there. And Ray is with them, which means that instead of waiting for her at the bathroom like he said he would do, he just fucking left and went back to the cabin, which is kind of fucked up. And they're like, you're crazy, Brooke. I know, you're being silly. And she's like, he murdered that guy we hit with our car. And they're like, okay, let's go check. And they go to go check instead of just believing her. Because again, why would you believe a person who has nothing to gain by lying to you?
Right.
And Rita is brave. Rita the nurse is brave.
Or like, hey, let's be less charitable. Let's say you're one of these guys who has clearly expressed a vested interest in wanting to fuck Brooke. Then you have a very good reason to listen to her and all that, right? Like, even if we're willing to be as rude as possible, it would be crazy for one of these guys to not, like, listen and try to console Brooke. That would be so stupid. Like, whether you're being charitable or not, this act, it just makes no sense that no one would listen to Brooke. It makes no sense.
He's too mad. And, like, the thing is, you could even have one of the characters be like, you're obviously just shaken up because a serial killer tried to kill you yesterday. Like, obviously, you're going to be a little jumpy. Nobody says that, by the way. They're just like, you're being silly. Like, you're just a goofy goober. Like, nobody brings up that she was just attacked by a serial killer.
And she's like lying on the ground, shaking, covered in mud, clearly just took a counter hit from the haymaker tree. And everybody's like, you really like playing the part, huh, Brooke?
Yeah. yeah, they go to check to see if the hiker is there, and he's not. And they're like, you're crazy. And they all
isn't acceptable. Yeah. That's not okay. Yeah. Because, like, the thing is, they're like, she was like, yeah, the hiker was dead and nailed to the door and all of that. And then they show up, and he's not there. And they're like, see, there was no hiker. That's not what the agreed upon thing was. I mean, there was a hiker, and right. There isn't a hiker now. That's a problem. It's not enough to be like, well, his corpse isn't nailed to the wall. Okay, where's his corpse? Why are we talking about a corpse? He was alive. Yeah. Right here. Right.
I think they say like something throwaway about like, oh, he must have wandered off. I'm like, to the woods again? He doesn't have a car. Like, maybe you should go find
him.
I didn't
do great last time.
Yeah. I would have liked if Mr. Jingles just kind of like weekend at Bernie's to him like, hey guys, it's me, the hiker. Like, oh, see, he's right over there. It's fine. Yeah, Brooke, you weirdo.
And they see like a raincoat in the corner, and they're like, there's your raincoat, Brooke. I'm like, fuck you. Fuck all of you. What the fuck are you talking about? Like, what are you talking about?
It's like such an uncalled for gaslighting. It's crazy.
It wouldn't be American Horror Story if they didn't gaslight a woman.
Yeah, we got it. Have we made a woman doubt herself today? No, we got to get on that, fellas. Oh, my God. Like, they even are just like, oh, you must still just, you're not used to smoking weed. And she's like, I didn't smoke any weed. They're like, yep, not used to it.
Yeah, like, you got a contact high. I'm like, I don't think that, you guys are mostly doing cocaine. I don't think you get, like, a cocaine contact high. Like, I don't think that's a thing.
No, not usually.
And then we get a Margaret jump scare because she's at the front door and she's like, what's going on? Why are you all in the infirmary? What the fuck is happening? Which is fair. It's not like she's being weird here. That's fair. And then Rita's like, yeah, that guy left. That's probably unrelated
that
to Brooke's thing.
The guy who was critically wounded had his ear cut off and was hit by a car. He just decided he'd just go.
Yeah. He wandered off into the rain, the thunderstorm that's going on. It's probably fine. I know we are in the woods, but it's probably fine.
AMA, yeah. They call it, I think, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
What a jerk.
It's the most dangerous time to just wander off, too. Like, the middle of the night in a storm in the woods. Brother, I wouldn't go out there if there wasn't a serial killer on the loose. Like, that's just a dangerous place to be. There's wolves!
Yeah.
What are we doing?
Yeah, not to mention he's somewhere, like, he didn't, like, start at. He's at a new location that, like, he doesn't know. Like, it's unfamiliar territory. Anyway, whatever. Margaret takes this opportunity to yell at Brooke for being covered in mud and is like, go take a shower, stinky. And I'm like, your only rule was that girls can only shower in the morning. So pick one. Is it that you can shower whenever you're stinky, or is it only in the morning? Because you're really going to have to enforce one of those things, or otherwise there's not a rule.
Again, if I saw a group of people and there was one person in the group, particularly if it was like a smaller woman who was covered in mud and like shaking and crying and visibly fucked up, I'll be real. I wouldn't trust the rest of them if they all were like, yeah, she's just making it up. I'd be like, okay, something's going on. Like, that's not okay. Like, even if it is like just she's being wild, I would like to know more about this as opposed to just being like, hey, clean yourself up, you piece of shit.
Yeah, you stinky. Look like shit.
Take a shower. What the fuck is wrong with you? Don't fall. Don't roll around in the mud, you little fucking piggy.
Yeah. Like, yeah, incredible energy everyone is bringing to Brooke here. Also, like, yeah, I don't know, maybe.
Sure, you were running from a killer. Maybe you just like to slop it up. All right, we get it.
Not only that, but like, worst case scenario, again, nobody brings up that, like, she was just attacked by a real serial killer 24 hours ago. No one has any empathy towards that. They're just like, you're crazy.
Yeah, right?
There's no way these two things are related. Like, it's fine.
You fight off one serial killer, you see him around every corner, happens every time. Yep.
Yeah. Like, because that would make sense. It would make sense, and it would be a reason why they wouldn't believe her, because they'd be like, oh, she got, like, spooked because we talked about a serial killer, and she was just attacked by a serial killer. Like, it makes sense that she would be jumpy. That would be a very easy, like, narrative device to explain why Brooke would not be believed. They don't mention that
and
once.
It also would make all the characters seem way less shitty.
Yeah.
If they, like, had reasoning, and instead they're just like, that's Brooke. She says shit like that.
Yeah. So then we, like, jump forward, and Brooke has taken a shower and is clean now. And as she's, like, sitting in the cabin with everybody else while they're still watching the Olympics, Brooke hears the payphone ringing at the bottom of the hill, and she goes to wake Montana up, and Montana wakes up with a switchblade in her hand. And this is a really funny delivery by the actress. Brooke's like, what the fuck? And she goes, sorry, I have a suspicious nature. And I'm like, okay, Montana gets a plus one for that one. That's pretty funny, actually. And then Montana's like, why do we care that the phone is ringing? And then Brooke is like, the hiker said that the phone lines were down. And I'm like, that he could have been lying, or just, you know, like, tired because he was dehydrated.
The hiker? What hiker? I don't think there ever was a hiker. Did you make up a guy again, Brooke? There wasn't a guy here. What do you mean a guy we hit with our car? Does anyone know who she's talking about?
And then Brooke goes down to answer the still ringing payphone that has been ringing this whole time. And when she answers it, this is so fucking funny. She answers it and there's just keys jingling on the other end. And she has the nerve, the audacity to be like, who is this? As though anybody else in the entire universe would be jingling keys into the phone right now. Like, huge. But that's not the funniest part, because we are now on the last scene of the episode, God. And now it's unfortunately time for the funniest possible scene.
Because you might think, wow, that's really bad luck for Brooke that she got attacked by a serial killer, and now a second unrelated serial killer has decided to show up and continue to harangue her. But don't you worry, because the first serial killer's here too!
He used his Satan powers. Richard Ramirez is here. Extremely Smash Brothers voice. Like, Richard Ramirez. Hail Satan. Whatever.
Junior.
Yeah. Richard Ramirez jumps out of the woods. But the thing is, he jumps out of the woods like a jump scare. But he's super far away from Brooke, so she doesn't see him. And then he goes,
It's more like a member of West Side Story, like, popping out of a gas. She starts singing along with the scene.
Yeah.
He kind of does one of those.
I'm not joking. I'm not this funny. He starts going, Satan, 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 Satan,
Satan, Satan, Satan, Satan, Satan. Like, it's awesome. Like, he's getting himself pumped up to go to the Super Bowl.
It is unfortunately so fucking funny. It is such a funny, like, the whole thing, the whole scene is so funny. I'm like, there's no way you're serious. This is so fucking unserious. What are you talking about?
Like, this would be in a much funnier show, like a joke about we really wanted to have a reference to X character, but we only know the most base level things. Like, we just know the most surface level shit. So it'd be like if they had, like, yeah, we wanted to have Brett Favre as, like, a guest character in our show, and every time he went on screen, he was just like, football. Football.
John Madden.
Yeah. They, like, have him do that, but with Richard Ramirez, it's just like, Satan, 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 Satan. It's like, you guys want to write any dialogue for this guy? No. Absolutely not.
Satan, 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 Satan.
We have dialogue. What do you mean? Look. But
it's just like some shit he'd say. Read a
it's
book.
It's like he's really here with us.
Oh, God. Yeah, and that's where it wraps up episode one. We have so much setup done. We have two serial killers. We have a terrible camp that I don't think there's ever going to be children, for what it's worth. I'm hoping we don't have to deal with kids. That's the only way they could really make this worse for me, is if there were child actors introduced next episode.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I was thinking about it, because this episode is pretty long. I'm like, it's kind of crazy, because they, like, hit all the beats of, like, a horror movie. Like, if this was a horror movie, it essentially is just, like, a horror movie that's, like, missing its climax. And it is, unfortunately, right, just the first episode. So, like, we've done most of, like, the movie and already.
They've even added a second killer, too, which is, like, kind of over the top and not necessary. But, it, you know, he's here. So, you know, it's Satan. Like, there's Satan. Already too much. Yeah. Like, this is, like you're saying, like, this would, like, I guess you would expect, like, 9 more episodes of them being picked off by Mr. Jingles. But that can't possibly be it. And unfortunately, it's not, because, like,
what if they just add a new killer every episode?
That would be cool.
And by the end, it's just like, it's like 4 teens trying to fight off 11 killers, and then at some point it flips and they're the killers now. Yeah, that would be way better, huh?
Well, actually, yeah.
Yeah, regrettably, next episode is named Mr. Jingles, so I guess we're gonna hear more of that bitch and his stupid keys.
Yippee.
Yes, thanks for listening. Hope to catch you around next time for Mr. Jingles, where I assume we're going to have an hour of very deep, thoughtful backstory of how Mr. Jingles was very sad as a child.
Yeah.
And until then, thanks for listening. Have a great night.
Bye. Bye.